The message today is based on Psalm 130 in verse 3. But I'll read those three verses to start. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. This is David, of course, saying, Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. And then he says, if you, Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? Who could stand? Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So David's question is a very valid question. He's saying, well, we're all sinners. And if God kept a record of all of our sins, who could stand? Who could stand? Do you ever keep a record of your past? A record of each time you may have sinned? I can't remember all my sins, but I know there's a whole bunch of them, and there's a few that rise to the top on a pretty regular basis. I don't like to be reminded of them. It's not fun to have them be reminded of. There are a lot of things that I wish I had never said. There are a lot of things I wish I had never done. There's probably a lot of things that I should have done that I never did. Okay, and it's all sin. I regret, I still have memory. I don't like it when it happens. But this question is, who could stand? Who can stand? You know, when we're constantly thinking of these sins of our past, they just drag you down, don't they? It makes you depressed. It makes you doubt. It makes you think you're unworthy. They start eating up in your mind. It's like having a garden that's just full of weeds, and the weeds just keep on growing and growing and coming back, and you can never get rid of them. It creates self-doubt when these sins are brought back into our mind, and it creates pity. We have self-pity. Somebody used to call me, you know, you shouldn't have a pity party. But we do those things, don't we? We do. You see, as sinners, we're guilty. We're guilty of breaking God's law. And the penalty for breaking God's law is death. And that guilt that comes back into our minds continually wants to sort of remind us and convict us. It can start eating at our minds. It just makes us question our future. Are we even worthy of eternal life? Are we doomed to hell? Our minds become so preoccupied by the past that we doubt our future. That's a very, very serious thing that happens to many, if not all of us, sometimes more, sometimes less. But you see, the interesting part is that God and Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, he not only forgives us, but he forgets and he blesses us. No matter what we may have said, no matter what we may have done, no matter what we may not have done, he not only forgives, he forgets. And that's an amazing gift that we receive. You see, in Psalm 32, verses 1 to 2, it says, blessed is the one whose transgressions, whose sins are forgiven, whose sins are covered, can't be seen anymore. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. See, he doesn't just forgive, he forgets. And that's an amazing blessing. Blessing, you know, we talked about the word blessing, Asher, that Hebrew word that means happy or happiness. Now, we're not dancing with joy, but we are happy. I would hope you're happy. I hope you would feel happy that your sins are not only forgiven, they're forgotten. Unfortunately, we're the ones who want to keep remembering and we shouldn't. There's a psychiatrist, a very famous psychiatrist. He actually won the Presidential Medal of Freedom by Jimmy Carter. His name is Carl Menninger. And Carl Menninger started a large psychiatric hospital in the New York area. And he's quoted as saying the following: If he could convince the patients in his psychiatric hospital that their sins were forgiven, he said 75% would walk out that day. 75%. He said, if only they and we would take God at his word. Amazing that this man would say that. See, the interesting part is that when we repented and received Christ, we became a new creation. I think I mentioned it before. We are totally new, born again. Not rehabilitated, we're totally new. We are clean. Everything in the past is wiped clean. It's covered, as it says in the scriptures. I know this is a long scripture. Bear with me as we go through it. It says in 2 Corinthians, therefore, if any was in Christ, the new creation, us, has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What's a ministry of reconciliation? It's that Christ died on the cross. He shed his blood. He paid the penalty. Yes, he was resurrected, and now he sits at the right-hand side of God the Father. But he shed that blood and he suffered that pain so that not only our sins be forgiven, but they also be forgotten. And as it goes, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, and there's the key point, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We're therefore Christ's ambassadors. We can go out and tell people, guess what? There's some good news. You can have this freedom from guilt. You can have this freedom from sin. You can be a new creation. And all the junk of the past is gone. Not remembered by God. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled. God made him who had no sin. He made Jesus Christ totally sinless here as God on the earth to be sin for us. So what? So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We can be right with God. God is right with us. Over the last 4 weeks, unfortunately, there have been some sad times. Walter and I, when we combine it, over the last 4 weeks, have had to conduct 5 different funerals. And I really appreciate, especially Walter's messages, as he always included in his message, that we are righteous. See, that we're righteous in God's eyes. Now, that makes it feel like, oh boy, we think we're special, and other people should think of us as special. And of course, those who would encounter us from time, oh, you think you're a special person. You think you're self-righteous. You're righteous. We're not, okay? None of us are righteous in each other's eyes, and we should never be that way. We are all sinners. But as we just read, we are righteous in God's eyes. God looks at us as totally clean and pure and holy and righteous with him. We are righteous as humans, as viewed by God the Father, not as by others. And that is what matters, that God views us as righteousness in his eyes, because he totally forgave us and he totally has forgotten our old selves. Paul, he quotes part of Psalm 32 that I read earlier. David said the same thing, he says, when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness. We're credited with righteousness apart from works. We can't become righteous. by paying huge amounts of money. We can't be righteous by volunteering. We can't be righteous by giving or doing or whatever. Righteousness comes from God. It's His gift of grace to us. It's free, and it's up to us to receive Christ so we can receive that grace and receive that righteousness and have those sins not only forgiven, but understand that they and are forgotten. It says, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. And here's the interesting part. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. He gives us everlasting life, and He gives us never being able to be counted for sin. Why are we given and forgiven and viewed as righteousness by God? I'll go back to the original verse that we started the message with today. It says, out of the depths I cry to you, Lord, Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? Who could stand if He kept that record? And then it goes into the next verse. And this is the interesting part. Why are we forgiven and forgotten? Our sins forgotten. He says, but with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. It's so we can serve God. That's why we are forgiven and why our sins are forgotten. As His children, we can serve Him. We put God first in our life. You know, it's interesting about how do we forget sin. It's hard. It's not easy. Especially when we're constantly reminded of it. Remember when the first calculator ever came out? You know, the little electronic calculator, you know. I think it's the worst thing that ever happened for kids at school, but anyway, because they can't even do their 12 times 12 table anymore. They have to use a calculator. Well, it's okay. But anyway, that's a little side peeve of mine. Okay. But calculators, okay? Or computers, same thing. So a calculator, you're putting in all the data and you're adding it all up and oh, you make a mistake. What do? You hit clear or cancel or delete. And what happens? It's wiped out. No more memory. It's gone. Right? Totally. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing with forgiveness of sins. Hit the clear button. You know, delete it. Get rid of it. I know that's very simplistic. Okay? But let me give you a few other things that you can consider on how one gets forgiven and forgotten. Your sins forgiven and forgotten. The first one, of course, is in Acts chapter 3. The first thing is we need to repent. Of course we have to repent. You can't be forgiven for something that you don't confess. And that is the beauty of prayer, the beauty of being able to go to God and say, look, I messed up. And I messed up sometimes pretty bad. In fact, I messed up really bad. But you can repent. It says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins, what? May be wiped out. Not just forgiven, wiped out. That times of refreshing may come from the Lord, that He may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. So the first thing is we have to repent. The second thing is you can ask for mercy. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 86, it says, hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. That's true. We are poor and needy spiritually. Okay? Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord. For I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant. For, Lord, I put my trust in you. You are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call on you. Hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. So we are to repent and we're to ask for mercy. The next part, and by the way, you could always go, if you don't know how to repent, or if you need the words, or you're at loss for words, I'm not going to go through it now, read Psalm 51. Read Psalm 51. Write it down. Psalm 51. When you are really in that depth of repentance, read Psalm 51. Now, there's another thing that we can do to try and forget those sins of the past. Because what are those, when they come into your mind and they're reminding you, I use that analogy of it's like a garden. Your mind's like a garden and it's full of weeds, and those weeds are the sins of your past, all right? And they're constantly growing and coming back and sprouting back up. So what do you do? Well, you can pull the weeds. Yeah, that's a good idea, but I don't know how to do that part. But I can replace them. I can replace them. You want to put different thoughts into your mind. You want to be able to get rid of those negative thoughts, and you want to put in the positive thoughts. Now, I'll read you how to do that. It's in Philippians chapter 4. It's in Philippians chapter 4. You know, there's a part of Philippians chapter 4 says we're not supposed to worry. We're not supposed to worry. We can bring our requests to God. And then he gives us the formula of how to not worry and how to get the bad thoughts out of our head. And what he says is in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9. I write these down, by the way. I have them on my desk. I have just a little list. And whenever those negative thoughts come, I go and look at this list. And this list comes from Philippians chapter 4. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, and then here's the clue, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. So whatever is, can you think of something that's true? Something that's really true? That you can think of? What about something that's lovely? Look at the creation around us in this summer. Just look at a flower. Look at something that is incredible. Can you think of something that is admirable? Can you think of something that is pure? Excellent, praiseworthy. The minute your mind starts thinking of those things, you're putting flowers into that garden and you're displacing the weeds. Think on those things. Think on those things. And then the fourth thing. So we repent. We ask for mercy. We change our thought pattern. And then we are asked to believe. In Hebrews chapter 10, the Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, this is the covenant. A covenant is a promise. This is the covenant I'll make with them after that time, says the Lord. I'll put my laws in their hearts. God's not only his law, his word in our hearts. And I will write them on their minds. He's going to put them in our minds. Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. Believe that scripture. That is the fourth thing. Repent, ask for mercy, change your thoughts, and believe. There's a gentleman by the name of Randy Alcorn. He said there, I'll quote from his book, The Grace and Truth Paradox. He says, the way to no longer feel guilty is to deny guilt, is not to deny guilt, but to face it and ask for God's forgiveness. You confront it face on and say, God, forgive me, and I know you will forget my sin. John Bunyan, he said, no child of God sins to that degree as to make himself incapable of forgiveness. Because you see, it says in 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So if we're purified from unrighteousness, that makes us righteous in God's eyes. in Isaiah 43. I, even I, who blots out your transgressions for my sake, God wants to wipe them out for his sake and remember your sins no more. See, Oscar Wilde wrote, the only difference between the saint and the sinner is that every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Isn't that cool? Every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. In Isaiah 44, verse 22, I've swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. I've bought you back. You are now my child. One of the authors I enjoy reading is Max Lucado. And he writes, when grace moves in, guilt moves out. When grace moves in, guilt moves out. And then he writes, he says, when he says we're forgiven, then let's unload the guilt. When he says we're valuable, then let's believe him. When he says we're provided for, then let's stop worrying. God's efforts are strongest when our efforts are useless. Because we can believe, we can repent, we can change our thoughts. We can have the right purpose of life looking forward, knowing that our sins are forgiven and forgotten. They shouldn't drag us down. There should be no conscience where our guilt drags us down, because it's totally wiped out, those sins. They have been forgiven, totally forgotten by God. I'll close with this one scripture. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us. Cleanse us from what? From a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. The most debilitating thing is to think that we're not worthy. That we're not worthy. Most debilitating thing is to think that somehow God is punishing us for what we have done in the past. He's not doing that. He's forgiven us. He's forgotten our past. Our past has totally gone. He doesn't want to bring it up because he's forgotten it. We're the only ones that are bringing it up. And it's our duty to forget it. It's our duty to repent, to believe, to change our thinking, to think on those things that are positive and pure. Don't let guilt get to you. Know that you're forgiven no matter what we may have done. We have this amazing, glorious future ahead of us. We're here to praise and glory God each Sunday for the future that he has set aside for us. Don't let past sin tarnish that future. Great God, our Father in heaven, we just come before your throne. All we can say is that we just thank you. We ask for your mercy. We confess our sins. And we just thank you above all for your grace, and that you've forgotten our past and look forward to us as your children going forward into the future, clean and pure and holy in your sight. We just thank you and praise you for all of this. In Jesus' holy, righteous name, amen.